Hey, how are you today? This is Josh Patrick, and you're cracking the cash flow code. And my guest today is Candice May. And Candice has a company called Leadership That Cares. And her last name is Gruber, I think. Did I say that right or did I screw it up?
Yep, you said it right.
Okay, Candice May Gruber. And she has a company called Leadership That Cares. And guess what we're going to talk about today? You got it. We're talking about leadership. So let's bring the expert on and we'll start a conversation with Candice. Hey, Candice, how are you today?
Great, Josh. I'm glad to be here. My company is Candice May Training and Services. I do is develop leadership that cares through communication, attitude, relationships, equipping staff, and sales.
Well, that was too good for me because I thought I was going to get through an introduction without screwing it up, but I guess I didn't. So I'm keeping my perfect score. So tell me, what is Leadership That Cares and why should we care about that?
Leadership That Cares is a people-centric, value-based servant leadership. It's about putting people at the focus of your business because no matter what you do, people are going to be the center of your success.
Okay, so let's talk about servant leadership for a little bit because that's a term that's becoming more and more popular and gets kind of bandied about. And many people think of servant leadership in the religious context that it was talked about. But I'm assuming that your version of servant leadership is a little bit different.
Well, think about the government. They're public servants, right? They're serving the public. Yes. So a servant leader is really about serving your people. It's about putting your people first and foremost. It is about being focused on values rather than micromanaging and command and control style of leadership. It takes more of a collaborative approach, valuing people and what strengths they have and allowing them ability to work in their strengths, right?
So values-based leadership, one of my favorite topics. Right. What does that mean to you?
That means we identify the kind of environment we want to work in our business, and we know exactly what is the highest importance of our work and our focus. So values is something just like money, you value the dollar, how much is it worth? So when you have a value, it's something that means something to you. And if you have a business that's based in values, hopefully you've taken the time to figure out what your values are. What is it that you value the most? Do you value cash first and foremost? Do you value people first and foremost? Do you value serving and bringing a quality product to the marketplace? What is it that you value? And is it loyalty that you value? Is it strong work ethic? What are those things that you value most? What do you value for your customers?
So how would you go about identifying values?
Well, I have an exercise that I take people, executives and business owners I coach through. It's listing out those things that are most important to you. And you can usually tell, people may say they value something. They may value family. They may value faith. They may value quality time. Who knows? Great product or something specific. But if you look at their pocketbook and their calendar and see where they're spending most of their money and where they're spending most of their time, that's going to be indicative of what they value the most. So if what you think you value and what you're actually doing are not in alignment, we want to identify that and bring it into alignment so that what you are doing is spending your time there. A lot of businesses are putting out fires. They're running around crazy, always in emergency mode. And it's hard to be productive when you're putting out fires all the time. So we've got to figure out what's causing you to be in fire mode and carve out some time to get you into a more proactive mode so that we can get your values in place and create the work environment and product and cash flow that you're looking for.
Okay, so we're going to come back to that firefighter mode in a little bit, but let's continue on with values a bit. So with values, okay, I have a value is family. So how are people going to know in my organization that family really is a value? And how will they know what I mean by I say family?
People do what people see. So if you say family is a value, you've probably taken your calendar and carved out important dates and times for your family. At the beginning of the year, when you're starting to plan for the year ahead, like right now, we're going to be planning for 2022. It's a good time to carve out where your family vacation time slots are going to be. If you're, when you know your children's school recitals or special events going on or special work events for your spouse or family birthday events, anniversaries, you've marked those in your calendar and you hold them with honor, just as you would hold an appointment for a customer. And then when that shows you value your family, you've carved out time and you're going to honor that and not become such a workaholic that you don't have time for those important relationships. And what does that mean for your employees? If your employee comes to you and they say their child is in a recital or has something, can you flex their work schedule for that day? Can they make it up another time, or can they just have that time off and use their vacation time? How much flexibility are you going to be able to give them when it comes to emergency family issues?
That's a really good point. And one of the things that I think is really important for values is if you don't have a clarifying statement around what your values are, there's no chance that anybody understands what you mean by your family.
Correct. I think
So.
shared terminology is critical. So when we're working with leadership and we're working with teams, we actually go through this process of reviewing their values, reviewing the culture that they want to have within their organization. What does that look like? What do the terms look like? When we say a value, it's not just a word, it has a definition that everyone understands and agrees upon. And beyond that, they know what it looks like in day-to-day operations. Some companies will have a value, but their policies and procedures totally ignore those values. Maybe they say they value social competency or social structure, right? And supporting environmental. Okay, they support environmental. That's the value for this company. But yet they go and they break the laws and dispose of products illegally or in a way that harms the environment. Then those values are not in alignment, are they?
No, and you're seen as a liar.
Yeah. So those are important things to look at because people do what people see. And if leadership is doing one thing, they could be saying one thing and doing another. What do you think all of the staff and customers are going to be doing? They're going to be seeing what you're doing, not what you're saying.
So, what I see in almost every company that says their values led is they do a values exercise of some sort. And they come up with some values and they stick it up on the wall, and that's where they stay.
And that's a shame.
So, excuse me?
That's a shame. Yes, that's not good.
Well, that's not good. And but it's reality with most people who do a values exercise, in my experience. So, how do we get them off the wall and integrated into actually being used in a company?
Well, there's training and exercises that take you through that, what you just described, an exercise, and you get a final product and you throw it up on your wall. But then there's another step of applying those principles and guidelines. There's coaching that goes along further. When you take training and you couple it with coaching, you get an 80% higher retention rate and change in behavior. That's why I like to do executive coaching and develop those leaders because those leaders are the ones who model the behavior and people do what people see. So we really want to get those leaders to understand shared terminology. What do those values mean? Not only what they mean, but what do they look like in application? We want to review the company policies and procedures and make sure things are in alignment. And then make sure those check-in points that these are being carried out.
So, what would you recommend to a business leader who has somebody on his team that is not exhibiting the values that the leader has said are important?
Well, that's important to address. I think when we lead with people-focused, value-centered leadership, confrontation is something of value. It's not a bad thing. It's something that we can confront each other in love and in kindness, in respect and civility, and hold them accountable. Ask them. Bring it to their attention. These behaviors are not in compliance with what we value. So, is this something that we can modify behavior, get them into coaching, or is this something that we need to cut the ties from? Because if somebody is totally out of alignment with your values and you've made every step you can to bring them into alignment and they're not there, it's either a will issue that they don't desire to participate, they don't share your values, or they're incompetent. So if it's they don't share your values, then they need to be off the team, right? That you don't want misalignment in the team because that creates toxic, that becomes lowers morale, it creates friction, and we don't want friction. We need those wheels turning smoothly. So everybody has to share the value structure.
So, who sets the values in a company?
Important that the leadership team is coming together and setting that together, but they all have an agreement in what those are. Maybe the
So,
business owner starts out with those values and structure, right? And then when they're hiring, they're bringing in people who share those values. So depending on where, at what point the company's at, if you've got a company that's already built out in full swing, then you're going to come together with the leadership team and really discuss these and bring them together. Have a facilitated meeting, like somebody like me would come in and facilitate that meeting and have the discussions and brainstorm and come up with a final working document.
okay, so you come in, you facilitate a meeting, and the team comes up with values, but the owner or CEO of the company hates those values. What happens then?
I don't know. Is it a public company or is it privately held?
It's a privately held company.
Yeah. Well, then there's really something that has to be held. There has to be a strong reckoning there, a conversation. I can't really give you a final output of that, but I can tell you the pr process. What we would meet with the owner to find out what is it that he doesn't like about those values? What is it that he values? Where are we misaligned? Sometimes we share values and sometimes we have a different priority of the values. So it's important that we prioritize the values and we play them out. I would ask that business owner to share their values, and then I would play out scenarios with their values to see what those look like in day-to-day living principles and practice and behavior. And then let them say, what is it? Is this what you want? I play the movie. That's what I call it. I play the movie. I take these values and I play them out in day-to-day operations. And I say, is this the results that you want? If it is,
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
well, if it's what they want, then with their own values, then maybe we need to go back and revisit and figure out how to get everybody on board of those values. If it's something that's completely out of alignment, and doesn't serve the company, then that needs to be reviewed and discussed. I can't believe somebody who owns a business would want something at place that is not serving the company and the employees and
Yeah,
customers.
I'm kind of a believer that, especially in a privately held company, the owner of the company needs to set the tone for what the values are. And then the people who are the team members in the company need to either adopt or not adopt those values of something that they're willing to work towards. Because when I see the opposite happen, where the team develops the values, in my experience, it really works out especially well.
Yeah, right. That's why we want to pull in the whole leadership team. I have this tool, Leadership Game. It's actually a
Yep.
leadership experience. It's a wonderful interactive process to come into a new environment and pull the leadership together and take a couple of hours and go through some exercises, which is actually a lot of fun. It doesn't feel like work. And just to kind of get an assessment of how people are communicating, how they're connecting, what they value, how many leadership principles they truly understand. So we have a basis to go by. It might be that they don't understand various leadership principles if they've never been exposed to them. So when we understand that, then we know how to work with explaining various principles and why they're there and how they're productive and how they become fruitful to them.
So, when you say leadership principles, what do you mean by that?
I mean, things you follow that give you certain results. There are certain principles or laws that you could follow that will guarantee a result, right? And when you know what those principles are, you can set yourself up to win. If you don't know what the principles are, then how are you going to win?
So, could you give me an example of that?
Can I give you an example of that? Well, one of them is simply people do what people see, right? We said that. That is a true law of leadership. We want to make sure that we're modeling the behavior that we want our people to follow.
And unfortunately, too often I see that not happen
Right. That's why we do
where, a manager, a leader, an owner will say, "Here are my values," and then the real world happens and they let their values go by the wayside.
That's why you oftentimes have a coach when you're in leadership, so that you have someone you can check in with, you have some accountability, you have ability to stretch yourself and become a better version of who you are. Because when you grow as a person and you become stronger, then your business becomes stronger as well. Remember I said CARES, that's communication, enhancing your communication. There's laws and principles around communication. It's a two-way process. A lot of us want to just spout out what we want, and that's it. You need to follow what I said. And if you didn't understand what I said, it's your problem. You've got a problem. You don't seem to understand what I'm saying. But when there's the person speaking has a responsibility to ensure that the other person understands them. So it's a two-way conversation that you would invite some feedback from that person that you're giving orders to. What did you hear? How do you see that? And make sure that they understood you. So there's communication, there's attitude, there's principles of attitude, right? The higher your attitude, the higher altitude you're going to go, right? When you're expressing gratitude and you're staying in a place of being thankful, people are drawn to you. If you're bitter and you're angry all the time, then you're not going to get a lot of magnetic people drawing to you, right? It's going to be harder to retain staff and get the results that you want. When it comes to relationships, there's principles and rules around relationships. What works in a relationship and what doesn't? There's different communication styles. There's ways to adjust your communication for each individual person, right? Equipping your staff. There's a lot of companies focus on hard skills, and that's necessary to make sure that your employees have the hard skills they need. But what about the soft skills for leadership? As we've already said, people do what people see, and if you have to be able to communicate well. So those are skills that can be developed in your managers and your supervisors. You want to go that extra step to develop their soft skills. But you also want to make sure you have the right people in leadership. You can't just pick up anybody and say, okay, now you're a supervisor. Because if they don't have potential in those leadership, they don't understand those principles, they're not going to do well in the relationships. Because remember, every part of your business centers around people. It's your person on the phone, customer service. It's your salespeople and their communication with the customers. It's your vendors and how are you treating them and connecting, and are you getting the best purchase deals and opportunities there? It's about the guys out in the field doing the work. If they're angry, do you think they're going to do quality work, or they're just going to just half do it, right?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a hypothetical, and this is probably something you don't often run across, but we'll play with it anyhow and see where it goes. You walk into a subcontractor's office, let's say they're an electrical contractor, and they've got about 25 employees, and you start talking about this with the owner, and the owner says, "I'm not buying it."
He's not buying what?
He's not buying that, I have to be nice to my employees and I have to listen. They need to do what I tell them to do, and that's it. So how do you help this person discover that might not be the best way to run their business?
Well, I guess we would. I have a workplace assessment that I would ask them to kind of go through and check off what kind of results are they getting today. I would go through management pieces. What are the results you're getting? What are your relationships looking like? What are your sales looking like? What is the quality of your work? If your people aren't being treated well, I guarantee you your customers are not being treated well, because everything rolls downhill, right? If you're
Yeah,
taking care of your people, your customers are going to be happy because your customers are going to be taken care of. The same with your vendors. So I would just try to walk this owner through results. What are you getting today? Whenever we go to grow ourselves or our business, it's important that we take a snapshot of where we are today. Where are we today? What are the results we're getting? How are we functioning these ways? Operationally, what are the workflows what we have in place? What are the processes? Are they effective? Are they producing what we want? Do we have redundancies? Do we have all of those are waste.
cool. So, Candace, unfortunately, we are out of time.
Okay.
So, I'm going to bet there are some people who are listening that might want to learn more about, how to develop leadership and values and use it well in their company. So, how would they go about finding you?
Well, it's Candace May, just like my name, Candace
Yeah.
May, and candacemay.com. If you go there, you'll see all kinds of resources. You can find ways to connect with me. You can set an appointment online. I offer a free 15-minute conversation to see where you're at, if there's something we can do to work together, and then we'll go from there and schedule. I tailor my services for each business because each business, though the principles are consistent, each business is at a different point. So we pick up where they're at.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And there's two things I would like you to do. Number one, I would like you to go wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave us an honest rating and review. If you love the show, give me 5 stars. If you hate the show, I hope you don't. But if you don't, you can give us less than 5 stars. And if you really hate it, you can even do 1 star, although I will probably cry a little bit, but you don't care about that. So that's so please give us an honest rating review. And number two, about oh, 6, 7 months ago, I released my second book. It's called The Sale Ready Company. It's a continuation of the journey our friends at the Aardvark family are taking. This time, John Aardvark is thinking about it might be time for him to transfer the business. So there's lots of adventures that happen with that, lots of lessons to be learned. It's really easy to get to the book. You just go to www.saleReadyCompany.com. That's www.saleReadyCompany.com. And I'm selling the book for half price on our website right now, so you can get it for $7.95. And I hope you read it. I hope you review it. And I hope you love it. So this is Josh Patrick. We're with Candace May Gruber. You're at Cracking the Cashflow Code. Thanks a lot for stopping by. I hope to see you back here really soon.